Alrighty, we're back.
We are back, everybody.
Welcome back, Nathan, to the studio. Did you miss the pod studio?
I miss this mediocre chair that you've provided me for the podcast.
Hey, dude, it was either that or...
Just crisscross applesauce on the floor.
Nothing, yeah. Like you sit on the table.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, pretty zen.
But welcome back to the Trade Waiters podcast. This is the comic book club show where we read a different trade paperback every single week and we talk about it. My name is Nathan.
I'm Daniel.
And we're brothers and we read comics,
indeed.
Don't we?
Indeed.
Before we get started, since we last recorded, we were doing like Jupiter's Legacy. Big shout out to Mark Millar, you know, no big deal. The writer of like the two biggest Marvel books ever commented on our tweet. And I saw a big uptick in listeners. So if you're new here, welcome. I'm sorry to disappoint. Just kidding. We're pretty cool.
they probably listened to, like, you know, the rest of the episodes.
And yeah.
There's some good stuff there.
Yeah. So if you're new, welcome. And if you don't know, there's time codes on the description. I think it works. I don't know. I put it into a website and it disperses. So hopefully everybody sees time codes.
Wait, a website does it for you?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. It's totally worth however much we pay.
Have you checked it?
Yeah. Well, it works on Spotify and then I just didn't want to check anywhere else. So if you're listening on Spotify, you should see time codes. But we got a big, big, big episode.
This is like 3 weeks of news that we're catching up on.
3 weeks of news, 3 weeks of the poll list and one trade.
Oh, that's true, pretty true. Good.
Only one trade. So we'll get right into the news.
You know, Nathan.
What's up?
Sorry. We predicted the news on one of our last episodes.
Oh, shit. Yeah. What did we say? I totally forgot.
I listened to the old episode, and the only thing that we got correct was that there was new trailers.
Nice. Yeah, there is.
There was a Venom trailer.
Uh-huh.
And then...
did I say what... I probably said there was going to be like an Eternals trailer. Or one of us probably.
It might have been. There was also an Eternals trailer.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Venom one?
It looks more of the same.
Yeah.
You know, I watched the trailer and I was like, this movie looks dumb too. And a lot of people really like the first one and the trailer for this one, which is surprising to me. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks just okay.
I didn't think it was like awful, but I didn't think it was great watching black spaghetti fight each other, you know? But now it's going to be a red spaghetti, you know, like a marinara spaghetti fighting a black licorice. Like,
I know.
So I don't know. It looks the dynamic between the symbiote and what's his face? Eddie.
Hardy?
Yeah. And Tom Hardy, the actor.
All three of them.
Yeah. Seems like it's pretty fun now. And I guess people know about it now. So it's interesting.
Yeah. It's not how I would have done it, but it's good.
I had hopes for there to be like a different stylistic taste to it because Andy Serkis is directing it and he's done some good stuff.
Right.
But it seems kind of more of the same. So hopefully it's at least better than the last one.
We'll see, I guess.
Yeah. Eternals.
Eternals trailer.
That's pretty big. It looks weird.
It's kind of weird compared to the rest of the Marvel movies.
It has a different flavor for sure. I saw a lot of people comparing the color palette to like Zack Snyder movies, and I disagree with that, even though it's not as colorful as like the last few like Marvel things, but it's not Zack Snyder.
Yeah, it's not that like
it's not gray. That bad.
Blue,
you know?
Yeah.
But I'm interested on how they're gonna pull it off just because I've been seeing more and more Eternal stuff. I don't really know much about them.
Me either.
We'll read a trade when the movie comes up, but it seems like it'll be hard to pull off. And I feel like they wouldn't do it unless they knew how to do it. So I'm excited to see what it is.
Yeah, for sure. I think I was like hoping for like a little bit more action kind of thing, like we're used to with these kind of trailers, but it's kind of just showing like what they've been up to. And apparently they've been on Earth for a really long time and then haven't intervened with world ending events.
Yeah.
So I guess they'll have to explain that.
I just am interested in how they're going to balance all of it. It
like seems all the characters or?
Yeah. Because there's like 9 of them or whatever there in that movie, and I feel like that'll be really difficult to try and give everybody something to do. So I feel like they'll probably focus on like 4 people, and then the rest of them will just have like a quarter of like the screen time or dialogue.
Yeah, it seems like they're all like kind of dispersed to different like cultures almost.
Yeah.
And then I forgot that Kit Harington was cast as like Black Knight.
Yeah, when is that going to come in?
Like, I don't
know.
That's so... He didn't have a sick helmet or a cool sword.
Was he in the trailer?
Yeah, he just like showed his face for a second.
Huh. I like the Black... what's his name?
Black Knight.
Black Knight. I've read like... Actually, I like the idea.
Yeah.
I've never read anything good from him. There was like a... I think there was like a Secret Wars Battle World tie-in with Black Knight. And I read it.
I think everyone had one of those. So, like, we're about to read the MODOK one.
Yeah.
Or, like, talk about it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It seems interesting, but I'm excited for it.
Dave Bautista won't be Drax after Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It seems like the most annoying character to play.
You got
to
be super buff and super ripped all the time and do 8 hours of makeup.
Lots of makeup all the time.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I think Drax could have a shirt, you know? Give him some Drax armor.
Definitely could. So
that
Dave Make Bautista, it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Or CGI it or whatever, but...
I did hear that and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I feel like after the third Guardians movie, I don't know what the Guardians are even going to look like, if they are even a thing. So
like the team's like expanding, meaning it could also like get smaller.
Yeah.
Or there'll be like kind of a new generation of it sort of thing.
Yeah. He could also die.
Yeah. You know? That could be a cool, like,
or he could just get recast, which is also pretty good if he doesn't want to do it anymore, you know?
Maybe. I don't think they're not really big on recasting for like big characters like that.
War Machine.
Dude, do not tell me you noticed that. Like,
yes, you did. Terrence Howard to Don Cheadle.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a big difference.
But like, I didn't notice, like, where's his name? Terrence Howard?
Terrence Howard, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't notice that he was gone when I watched the second one. And I then guess, it's like, oh, this is Don Cheadle.
I guess he's did War Machine. It.
Like, I thought they were different characters.
Yeah.
But I didn't know those characters going into those movies. So I didn't notice, like, hey, that's not this guy, Rhodey.
Yeah. I guess to be fair, it would have been weirder if Terrence Howard wore like some sort of Iron Man suit and then it was like Don Cheadle in an Iron Man suit. So I guess if they were going to recast, they did it at the right time.
Right.
But yeah.
Snake Eyes trailer, Nathan.
It's my turn for news, Daniel.
No.
I didn't even watch the Snake Eyes trailer, and nor do I care about G.I. Joe that much.
It looks kind of cool, though.
I'll probably watch it then. Did you watch the second G.I. Joe movie?
No.
I didn't either.
I watched, like...
Wait, is that the one with John Cena in it, or is he in both of them?
I thought he was in... No, this was the one that has Bruce Willis in it.
And,
G.I. Joe.
He's Joe.
He's Joe.
Nice. Big updates from Miller World.
Scotty Young.
Off of this... off of this... I guess what is the success of Jupiter's Legacy?
It's like number one on Netflix for a bit.
Yeah, what does that mean? You know, Netflix doesn't really tell
lots
us.
Lots of people were trying it.
I guess. So the Magic Order series is back in active development.
Like, know, the show?
The show. Book? The series. Actually, dude, that's a great question.
The show or the book?
It was tweeted from Netflix.
Oh, so probably show.
So probably a Magic Order show that's in development.
I remember reading that. I'm like, this is way better than Harry Potter.
I know, honestly.
Hot take. But like for all the Harry Potter fans, but I just liked it a lot more not being a huge Harry Potter person.
Yeah, Harry
and
Potter
movies are just like I've watched once and that was it.
Harry Potter kind of sucks dick.
whoa. We just got some new listeners. You're going to drive them away.
Exactly. Like, leave if you like Harry Potter.
No.
I don't want it. There's no.
Just read the Magic Order.
There's no Harry Potter comics. How am I supposed to understand what Harry Potter is?
The Magic Order ain't your grandpappy's. Harry Potter.
Because there's boobs in it.
Yeah, it's like it's a very adult.
From who's that? Who's the artist? Is like Lionel Francis Yu, I think.
You would know better than I do.
There's also from Miller World, Super Crooks anime will come out in 2021. We'll get a first look in June. Sure. Yeah, and that's gonna be like one of his series, but in like an anime format. And he's been like super excited about all the stuff that he's seen on that. So I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't even know that. He wrote a series called The Super Crooks.
I've heard it, like, looking at, like, his bibliography or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just haven't gotten to it.
Yeah.
But it's cool that these just aren't all going to be live action.
Yeah.
Like, things can work animated, or they probably will work better in an animated setting, you know?
Yeah, I think it's cool that he's open to, like, whatever, you know, Netflix wants to do to make it work.
Yeah, for sure.
Mark Miller also has an all-new live-action spy series / comic in the works. So it'll be like coming out at the same time.
Thing?
I think so, but okay. A different spy thing. Because he's got like other spy books that he's worked on.
Does he now?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is one.
So is he making a new series, like a new comic series?
It's pretty vague. Okay. You know, it could be like a reboot of like a different thing.
It's hardly news, Nathan.
yeah. Bitterroot has found a director. So the comic book Bitterroot by David Walker and Sanford Green.
Eisner winner, I believe.
Yes. Regina King will be at the helm of the major motion picture adaptation of the monster hunting Harlem Renaissance graphic novel.
So what's that mean? Is she going to help with it or is she in it?
She's directing it.
Regina King is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
Do you know who she is?
She's in Watchmen.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She hasn't. I haven't seen any other things that she's directed. I looked it up and it's like not anything huge. It's probably be like the biggest thing that she's directed.
Sick.
But pretty cool.
Yeah, I just know her from shows.
Yeah. One of my favorite artists, Liam Sharp, is coming out with an art book, and I wouldn't care really that much normally with any other artist, but I backed it on Kickstarter.
Oh, cool.
So I spent $47 to back it.
Oh, yeah?
And it's going to come with a big old, the big old book, and then it got to like a stretch goal, so I guess I'm going to be getting like a little, it's going to be like signed, and then there's going to be a different comic book that's just like a one-shot, I think, that he's producing, and like a bunch of other stuff. But it got fully funded in 1 hour.
No shit.
And it's currently almost
that. This should have like bigger goals if like it's going to happen.
Honestly, it seemed like it caught him like way by surprise. And it's got like a lot of traction just from what I've seen. And like people that are like supporting him.
The Jeff Lemire one like happened really fast. Like,
yeah.
A day, I think.
Yeah. And he's like, he keeps on adding stretch goals. It's almost, I think the goal was like 14K to like just make it happen. And it's almost at like 100. So I'm really excited to get that. Yeah.
That's fucking cool. Scotty Young is coming out with a book in August. It's called The Me You Love in the Dark.
Oh, yeah. That's the one with his collaborator on My Dad's a Tornado. What's that one called?
Middle West. Middle East?
Middle West.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. They're
Middle Earth?
No. Middle Earth is like Mordor. So yeah, Middle West.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
You love Scotty Young things. J.J. Abrams, Matt Reeves, and Bruce Timm are teaming up for a new Batman animated series.
Cool, I think.
You know the Batman animated series?
Yes.
Bruce Timm like did most of that.
Yeah.
So I'm familiar with all the called names. The Caped Crusader.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool, I think.
I think it's great. That's, you know, some big names.
Just more Batman, I guess.
The Rock is going to play Crypto the Superdog in a new...
no way.
New cartoon, yeah.
Is that the one where it's young Superman?
I don't know.
The Rock?
I think it's like a new Crypto show. Because why would The Rock be a side character?
Dude... This, like, last year has fucked up my mind, because whenever I hear crypto, I think of currency and not
the super dog.
Like, it's... I need to get back to thinking about...
The Rock cryptocurrency.
The Rock is coming out with a cryptocurrency.
It's just a rock on the coin.
Rock coin.
Crypto. I'm glad I said Crypto the super dog.
Yeah.
Crypto from Krypton. It is the Kryptonians.
I thought you were going to say...
Dog. Superman. Superman's dog.
What if they came
He's also
out...
a Kryptonian.
What if they came out with a emoji movie type movie, but it's all cryptocurrencies?
We'll probably get to that point. Dogecoin would just be on the moon. And then
Dogecoin would just
everyone
be like...
else is on Earth.
Dark Horse is set to release a new Witcher comic miniseries on May 26th. That was a couple days ago, actually, called The Witcher, Witch's Lament, and the miniseries sees Geralt dealing with the aftermath of a witch being burned at the stake, and it looks pretty cool.
Dude, I burned my steaks the other day. Like, for some reason, the grill just caught on fire. Like, I looked at the temperature, it was at, like, 800. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
That's not the flames. I know that's not the
that's not the right
steak
yeah.
that you're referring
but
to.
But you burned a steak. So
yeah, dude. It's really hard to cook like ribeyes for some reason. But anyway.
You're just bad.
I guess so. We're getting an Injustice animated movie, Nathan.
I didn't hear that. That's awesome.
You didn't hear that? It's going to be sick.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's based off more off the game or the book. It should definitely
Hear that, actually. I was thinking Young Justice for some reason.
No, Injustice.
Like that's awesome. What would you prefer, game or the book?
The book, for sure.
Absolutely
the
book.
Had no... like plot to it.
Yeah,
and the book's just way better.
The book is like one of my favorite trades. Like the Injustice Year One is like probably one of my favorite like Elseworlds, if not my favorite like Elseworlds kind of book.
Definitely. I read that really early on in my comics reading career.
Yeah.
Off of your recommendation, and definitely kept the momentum going. I'm like, comics cool, man.
Yeah, I know,
keep doing this.
That's such like, it was like such a nice fresh like sort of perspective on everything, and then everything felt like it had weight. It was like it almost became like a DC like ultimate universe in a way, because it went on for like 5 years.
Yeah, dude, that was crazy.
Yeah, so it was kind of nuts.
Aaron Taylor Johnson to play Kraven in a solo Sony movie.
I like that.
Yeah, it's like younger. He could like do it for a while if it ends up going for a while. He's good. Yeah,
He could play like an older man.
Yeah, he could play like an older man. He's just got to grow like a little bit of scruff or the mustache. He's just got to grow a mustache.
Yeah, he's just got to do a good mustache
and then cool with it.
Have a sweet fur coat.
He's been kind of big, so
yeah,
it shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah,
definitely not like my first choice. That's just not who comes to mind, because he's already been like two superheroes already.
Like, yeah, and that's never happened before.
Yeah, so, but no,
especially
no,
he's
going to be three now, is what the problem is.
Kick-Ass, Quicksilver.
Yeah, and then
Kraven.
Kraven, are you shitting me?
He's always been superheroes that start with a K, it's kind of noise. Kick-Ass, Quicksilver. Oh my
god! If and you spell Craven, quick very wrong, you can't quick, spell it with a K.
But it god makes the it. Same noise. I'm not saying the same letter.
See the first person to be three nerdy things?
No. Okay. I mean, it depends on what you consider nerdy, because Chris Evans has been in like five different comic book properties.
That's fair. Anyway.
Mark Miller says, a promising young woman director and Oscar winner, Emerald Fennell, will write the Nemesis movie for Warner Bros. So I guess that's in the works.
Wait, so there's Warner Bros. Has the rights to Nemesis?
I guess so. That's just what I saw.
What the fuck's the point of Millerworld? Maybe it's like in association with Millerworld.
Maybe they just got some legal thing going on. I'm not too sure.
That might have been sold like previously or something.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, they got it like Millerworld going like after the fact.
Yeah.
And so it's just the rest of the properties.
It could be. It could be.
That means we can't read those until like they come out.
I mean, you know? We could, fuck it. We'll just read it.
Yeah, we just read it.
I don't care.
Let's just read all the Mark Millar things and then hopefully get tweeted
yeah.
by him again. Jeremy Irvine to play Alan Scott in the Green Lantern series.
Cool.
Do you know who that is?
Adam Scott?
No, Jeremy Irvine.
No.
Neither do I.
So, wait, the HBO series, right?
Yes.
So now we know that there's an Adam Scott, no, Alan Scott. Adam Scott's the actor, I think. Alan Scott and a Guy Gardner.
Alan Scott is the character.
Right. Alan Scott and Guy Gardner are in the HBO series. That's what we know about it now, right?
Yes.
Cool.
There's a Dexter teaser. That doesn't really pertain to us, but...
Dexter's a comic. We'll have to read Dexter the comic.
Is Dexter a comic?
They have... Marvel printed like a Dexter comic.
Oh, that's right. It was in like my wish list for like ever. I just never...
It's probably not even good, to be honest, but...
Probably not.
Jeff Lemire and Tyler Crook, the team that was on the Black Hammer spinoff on Colonel Weird, the Colonel Weird one.
Okay.
They're back for a new Black Hammer spinoff book called The Unbelievable Unteens, which is a story that begins at a comic book convention when the Unbelievable Unteens artist, Jane Ito, is visited by one of her own four color creations.
Oh.
So she's at a comic book convention and one of the characters that she created comes up and says, "What's up?" And then it gets all weird from there.
That'd be so fucked.
I know. Doesn't that sound like an awesome premise?
Yeah, get it up for me.
Yeah. So there's like a big old mystery as the artist tries to confirm the reality of the situation or if it's her own insanity. So that sounds pretty awesome. Great creative team as well.
For sure.
There is... Remember the DC Round Robin thing?
Round Robin?
It's like the voting thing. And it's like, what series do you want to see? We'll vote on it.
Oh, yeah. Who won?
It's right now at Robins versus Suicide Squad 7, which is probably exactly, I think, what I thought would happen.
Someone go back and listen to that episode.
I'll find it because okay. I'll take a snippet and play it for you because I know I'm right. The Silver Coin, the Michael Walsh anthology thing where he's the artist and everybody else is a writer.
Yeah.
That's now an ongoing series and they've added more people onto it.
Like, is that what they're... that? Thing was, they were there announcing there's more people.
Yeah, so on top of the team that's already going to be on there, they've added Joshua Williamson, Ram V,
Matthew Rosenberg,
and Vita Ayala.
So that's like been confirmed.
Yeah, it's like an ongoing now. They pushed it from just that limited 5-issue run to now an ongoing, which is pretty kick ass, honestly.
Dude, like, when does that happen?
Like, has there ever been an ongoing anthology? Probably, actually, but like,
not that I can think
but
of.
Nothing quite like this, right? Where like the only consistent thing is like the artist.
Yeah, basically
that's,
never.
That's got to be fresh, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Tim Seeley, the guy behind Money Shot that we've read. I don't know if we've read any of his other stuff, but he's going to be on a Black Label series called Superman versus Lobo, and it's going to include the artist Mirka Andolfo. And
oh, she's good.
What has she been on? I've never heard of her.
Do you remember that book? It was like Unnatural.
No.
It was like the main character was, it was like those anthropomorphic characters and like the main character was like a pig.
No, I don't remember this.
It was pretty spicy comic book, Nathan.
Really?
It's pretty sexy. It's kind of like a guilty pleasure comic because I don't know if I would like... That's not like a book you'd read on a train, Nathan.
Okay, gotcha.
If anyone looks over your shoulder, they'll be like, what the fuck is that?
That's interesting then, because also co-writing it is Sarah Beatty, or however you say it, and she co-writes Money Shot with Tim Seeley, and she's also on this Black Label book.
Damn, Lobo's about to get sexy.
Are we going
to
see some Lobo dick and some and some super dick? Because I'm totally down for that. Also, Tim Seeley's writing Suicide Squad King Shark, a new limited series. And it debuts on Free Comic Book Day, whenever that's happening.
You ever seen this cover before?
Oh, I've seen the trade dress. I think I've seen that cover, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How long ago was that?
2 years ago.
Okay.
2018, so 3 years ago.
I'm surprised that you know, that you recognize the artist. That's awesome.
Yeah, because I follow her, and she's kind of got like Scotty Young vibes almost with some of the things that she draws. But I like her stuff. She's really good.
I enjoy some Scotty Young vibes.
That was a book that she drew and wrote, and it was like 12 issues. It started off really good and just kind of like tapered off.
Hmm.
But pretty solid all around.
Nice. That's cool. They're doing a Black Label book. I'm glad that they're
a Black Label book.
Yeah.
There's definitely gonna be some dick in there.
Yeah. At least Lobo dick. I don't know about Superman dick, but Lobo for sure.
Maybe we've already seen the Bat Dong.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time to see some super dick.
Yeah. Maybe at least some like Lobo cheeks. I'd be down for.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure those will at least be in there. There's also a The Joker series announced. I think this is a Black Label one. But DC announced a new 7-part series called The Joker Presents a Puzzle Box. And it's going to be by Matthew Rosenberg and a host of artistic teams. And the first issue's visuals will be provided by the combination of artists Jesus Marino and Joshua Hickson. I actually own some original art by that guy.
Nice.
And a bunch of different artists, but Chip Zdarsky's doing all the cover art for it. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I saw his covers.
Yeah. For the Joker one, this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Looks pretty cool.
And then another Batman thing.
Oh, great. Never enough.
Batman Worlds, I think is what it was called. And
it's a bad name.
It's a great idea. Or it's a pretty good name. Oh, sorry. It's called Batman the World.
Worst name.
Basically, it's a 184-page book, and it's the idea is that it's an anthology that is from a different creative team, and Batman's going to be in the country of those creative teams. So there's going to so essentially like the complete anthology will be localized to the following international territories. So there's going to be a story.
So if Chip was on it, he'd go to Canada.
Exactly. Yeah. So North America, France, Spain, Italy, Germany, the Czech Republic, Russia, Poland, Turkey, Mexico, Brazil, China, Korea, and Japan.
Hmm.
So all of the creative teams are going to be like native to those different areas. And Batman's going to also be in those areas. So I feel like that's a pretty cool idea. I'm not going to get it just because it seems like it'd be a lot of money. I don't know. Who knows?
A lot of countries.
It is a lot of countries. I think it's a great idea.
And it's honestly, like they throw like a Batman tax on all the Batman titles, like compared to other comic books.
What do you mean? Batman tax?
Yeah. So think about it. Like what's the average price for a comic, would you say?
Right now it's probably like $4.
Yeah. Like $4. $3.99 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like the last Batman thing you picked up, probably like $5 or $6.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Just because it's Batman.
AAA books is what you're kind of talking about?
AAA?
Yeah. Like the biggest like titles of each of the companies.
Yeah, but I think I've noticed it more among like Batman stuff. And so I've kind of like...
I'll have to look at my Batman stuff. I've read quite a bit of Batman-related things lately, so I'll have to check the prices of those, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Batman tax is the thing.
Yep.
Look it up. I just made it up, but...
what else do I got?
Yeah, so much news. I already ran out.
A new animated Superman show is coming to HBO Max, starring The Boys' Jack Quaid as a younger Clark Kent.
I thought he was going to be Jimmy Olsen.
No, he's going to be Superman. I don't know who's going to be Jimmy Olsen. It looks like he appears to be African-American in this take, just based off of the picture.
Okay.
So I don't know who's going to be playing him.
Hmm. Okay. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Good for Jack Quaid. I like that guy.
Warner Media got bought by...
Amazon.
No.
Discovery?
Discovery. Or no, there's like a Warner Media and Discovery merger.
Yeah.
And the sale does include DC Comics. So now Discovery owns DC Comics, but we don't know what that means yet. So not really like that big of news. But it is a media company because it was previously owned by like AT&T.
Yeah. So I think AT&T got rid of like all of their like
entertainment shit. And they're like, whatever, we're just going to have really bad phone service.
Right.
So
let's just hunker down on that.
Yeah. I think that's all my news. So yeah, pretty hefty news couple weeks.
Well, isn't Discovery on like Disney Plus?
No.
What's that one?
Wait.
Or isn't that National Geographic?
Yeah, that's what you're thinking of.
Okay. I was like, so is Marvel just going to own? Is Disney going to own everything?
There's like a Discovery Plus, or maybe I'm thinking of Paramount Plus. Is there a Discovery streaming service?
There might be.
It probably is. It wouldn't surprise me. Everybody's doing a streaming service
like
now.
Before, there was like a... everyone had a streaming service, like you could still go to individual channels and like log in with like your cable provider shit.
Yeah.
And like
just watch
something. Just watch what they had, you know?
Yeah.
So there's probably that.
Gotcha. But
interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe Batman will get very educational.
Who knows?
We'll learn about lizards or something.
Imagine like Batman on like a in like a National Geographic kind of setting.
Like in the jungle or something.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
But like think about it, he's like just has to they write around him going to different like landscapes, and then like he goes like, you know, deep sea, and you can learn about these new animals and how why he avoids them. He's like, "Oh, that big ass kraken."
Alternative idea.
Okay.
That where Batman is like narrating like that one dude that's always in National Geographic.
And it's just Kevin Conroy the whole time.
But yeah, it's Kevin Conroy. That's a great idea. And he's going to like Gotham and he's like looking at like the lizard, right? And he, in his habitat, but he's also like it's also like a crime thing, like a crime documentary, and he's talking about like the Riddler and all this stuff, and then in the middle of the documentary he gets into a fight with him, and then he takes it after that, then he goes to like Atlantis and he's like, here's all the Atlanteans and Aquaman and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that'd be kind of sick.
Yeah, they just like kind of work it in there.
It's like a National Geographic of like the DC universe narrated by Batman.
I'd watch that.
That sounds sick, honestly.
If someone sold it that way to me, I'm like, that sounds sick.
Yeah, like, like it's like a mockumentary.
Yeah.
But like with Batman, but like superheroes.
But there's awesome. Actual legit content in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like scripted content.
Right.
That'd be kind of sick, honestly.
Okay.
Anyway, let's talk about the book that we read this week. Let's
get in a writer's room.
Yeah, anyway, we should.
What did we read, Nathan?
We read MODOK Assassin, Daniel.
Nathan, was this...
Hold on. It's by... Christopher Yost, who's the writer. The penciler is Amilcar Pinna, with the inkers Terry Pallett, Amilcar Pinna, and Ed Tatted, with colorist Rachel Rosenberg. Oh, she's awesome, actually. And then letterer Travis Lanham. So, MODOK Assassin. Yeah. What were we about to say?
What is the worst book that we've ever done, and why is it MODOK Assassin?
What? You think this is the worst book we've ever done?
Nah, maybe.
No.
Like, bottom three.
Really?
Yeah, what was the
worst? I didn't think this was great, but like I thought it was like entertaining enough.
It was just like nothing to me. Like it was just like it like was what it is, you know? Like they're just like, hey, make a MODOK book, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And okay. That's fine. It wasn't like cringy or like nothing like dumb was in it, you know what I mean? But it's just like nothing that incredible to me, I guess, or like
I guess that's fair. Like
stimulating.
When I go into a MODOK book, I'm not expecting it to be much of anything.
I had low expectations.
And I think that this took an interesting approach that kept me entertained like the whole time.
Okay.
There are some parts where I'm just like, why are these people in it? But other than that, like I thought it was like pretty good actually.
I can summarize this book in a sentence.
I can too. But we're not here to do that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kind of breeze through it, but
for sure.
But some background on this book.
What do you think is the worst book we've ever done?
That Iron Fist book.
Ah, that was bad.
That was pretty bad.
I definitely like
that Iron Fist book. That shit. And then that Sam Wilson one. The wrong Sam Wilson book.
I think I like the Sam Wilson one more than this, honestly.
Actually, after talking about the Sam Wilson one, I was like, this makes like a little bit more sense. But I still didn't like it that much because I know Captain America Werewolf is like a thing, right?
Right.
I don't want to see Captain America Werewolf for like four issues in a row.
Yeah.
Make it like a two-pager thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And he could have done it. So, whatever. I don't like that book very much.
Okay.
What are your least favorite ones outside of this?
I think we're probably on the same page. Like the Iron Fist one was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Honestly, we'd have to go through our episodes to remember.
Well, let me give a little background on MODOK Assassin because there's a bit of history, I guess, to kind of know about.
Mortal Kombat wasn't that good either. I don't know if it was, like, the worst, though.
It was just, like, that was, like, the most okay book I think we've read.
Yeah, for sure.
But with MODOK Assassin, it takes place in Battle World, is what it's called. And essentially, what that is that this takes place as part of a spinoff of an event called Secret Wars that happened, like, in 2015 or something. And essentially, the normal Marvel Universe and the Ultimate Universe, like, was so... They were becoming so convoluted, and like the Ultimate Universe was so successful that they both became like equally convoluted and confusing to like keep up with. So Marvel, I guess, like wanted to take the good stuff from like Marvel 616 and then Ultimate Universe, just take all the good shit and then smash them together. And like, that's the new Marvel universe. So that's what the point of like Secret Wars was. It's kind of like a reboot, but Marvel doesn't like to use the word reboot. So they just,
but yeah, that's what it was.
So it was like a Jonathan Hickman thing, Jonathan Hickman, cheesy comic book way to get the best of both worlds or universes and mash them together. So in Secret Wars, Dr. Doom figured out a way to have like a deal with like Celestials or something. And also work with like the Fantastic Four, who was like creating universes at this point. And they basically put all that together in one world and made it Battle World. And Dr. Doom is like the god of Battle World. So in Battle World, there's a bunch of spinoff books, which is where we find MODOK in this one.
Was New Mutants any good? The book that we read?
New Mutants?
Yeah, I remember we did that book.
That one was also pretty okay.
Yeah, pretty okay. Yeah, so I think this is probably like...
Do you think this is top three or bottom three?
Bottom three for sure.
Really? I disagree. But
is this your top three, Nathan?
No, it's definitely not my top three, but I'd say it's like in the top half.
No, what?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude.
I'm not going to rank all of them, but feel like...
Rotten Tomatoes would consider that a positive review.
I give it 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah. Well, Rotten Tomatoes kind of sucks, so...
Yeah, but I mean, I
we'll
get
give,
it.
We'll give our rating in the classic Trade Waiters rating system at the end.
Oh, my God, okay.
But... Yeah, so Battle World, there's just like a bunch of... Marvel's greenlighting anything, clearly, because like there's a MODOK book, there's a Black Knight book, there's a bunch of weird shit that was happening.
They're like, hey,
but my,
what characters do we have again? And yeah, then they like gave him a book.
My personal favorite actually from this is a book called Thors, which was written by Jason Aaron as he was doing like his Thor run.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thors, there's like multiple Thors in this like universe, and those are like the cops. Like the Thors are cops. And he wrote like a Thor, like... detective mystery noir story with just Thors, and it was fucking awesome.
That sounds sick.
Yeah, so I think we should find some time to read that.
Is that part of his run, or is it just something for fun that he was obviously...
It was kind of like
point?
An outside thing, because obviously all the books were affected by Secret Wars, so right. He was just given this thing like...
So it's not like that's the book that he wrote.
If you were to like, I want to read the whole Jason Aaron run, you probably don't have to read Thors.
Okay,
but I would probably recommend it just because it's fun.
All right, for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, so we'll get into it. So
Doc Ock, he's a target at the like for the Assassin's Guild. There's just a bunch of random villains that are assassins.
Do you remember what MODOK stands for off the top of your head?
Machine only designed
of
killing, something like that.
They write it as mental organism designed only for killing. I thought it was mechanical organism designed only for killing.
They said mental organism?
Yeah, which is...
That's wrong.
It seems off. Maybe they've changed it, but that's what MODOK stands for. And he's living in, like, one of four sections in this, like, area of Battle World, where there's, like, Killville, where all the, like, assassins and villains are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, like, killing people, and that's, like, their own little area. There's an area for the X-Men, which is, like, the monarchy of M. There's a Sentinel territory, so, like, those big robots that fight all the mutants. And then there's, like, some other thing. I don't think it really matters, but... I think there's, like, a Marvel 2099 area, actually. But MODOK is in Killville, and it's a city just with assassins and other things, and MODOK is a part of that. Bullseye was trying to kill Doc Ock in the beginning of this book.
Yeah, he's, like, the hitman assigned to it or something.
Yeah, and MODOK kills Bullseye in the middle of his assassination of Doc Ock, which is against the rules of this Assassin's Guild.
Yeah. He also killed Doc Ock.
He did also kill Doc Ock. And the Assassin's Guild is led by Baron Mordo, which if you don't know, he was in like the Doctor Strange movie, and he might be bad guy in Doctor Strange 2.
Oh, yeah. This guy. Okay.
Yeah, he's the one that was teaching Doctor Strange how to do firecracker kung fu.
He's
you know?
The guy with the Wi-Fi password.
Yeah, he's got the Wi-Fi password. Yeah.
That's how I remember him.
That's so funny. But yeah, I think that they've characterized MODOK pretty well in like these first few pages, because he has like a super high ego and like view of himself, and thinks that he's like the most sophisticated scientific mind and like technological mind ever to live.
Right.
And basically his motive is set to just killing people all the time.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you think, but I do like the recurring like device in the lettering or the dialogue where they use like those angled brackets to like create emphasis in MODOK's dialogue.
I like that. That was cool. That was clever.
I think it was cool, too. Like, rather than putting, like, a bold or something, like...
It was, like, creative. I wouldn't have thought of that.
It felt like it was, like, code or something that was, like, taking over MODOK and just, like, saying what he's actually thinking or whatever.
I thought he was, like, glitching out.
Yeah, it's like him glitching out. So whenever he's like talking to Bullseye, he's like, I'm going to kill you, or I'm, and then they would cut in and be like, because I'm the best, you know,
yeah,
or something like that. Just like whatever he's like actually thinking kind of comes out.
I thought that would
out.
Play into like the show. I thought this was something that just normal for MODOK or something.
No, I think this was just like a creative thing that Christopher Yost put in. Yeah, but it makes like what I think is normally like corny dialogue, but on purpose, I think it makes it a little bit smoother to read.
Yeah, definitely. Like I didn't expect like anything Shakespearean with like MODOK. And so I like how true he is to that character and how I know him.
Yeah, because so. MODOK is like always kind of the butt of a joke, or like he's kind of just like,
he's like one of the most ridiculous.
He's just corny. Like sure. His character in general is just super corny. So and I like MODOK's design in this too. Like, I think he really nails just making him look like fucking weird, because he's got this big ass mouth and like a tiny ass nose that's like right in between his eyes.
Yeah, it definitely worked well.
Yeah, I just like it a lot. But so MODOK goes kind of he confronts Baron Mordo from like killing, and Baron Mordo's like, oh, it's really bad. But MODOK is just kind of like doing his own thing. And he's heading towards like the Sentinel territory border. And it's against the rules to pass any of the borders in this like place. And both the Sentinels and the X-Men people like know this, but MODOK sees one of the mutants, Gambit, is stealing something from the Sentinels. So the Sentinels attack him, but Gambit runs and crosses the border from the Sentinel area into Killville, and MODOK sees this. So MODOK, like the killing machine that he is, kills the Sentinels as punishment for crossing the border. So he gets the opportunity to just like kind of flex on him being like a killing machine, and kills like the Sentinels, which are also killing machines.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of fun. But then Gambit also like thanks him for the help. And then Gambit's head explodes from MODOK's like mind blast thing, because he's also crossing a border. So it just kind of shows that MODOK is just like, he doesn't care who he's killing really.
He has no empathy.
Yeah. He wasn't like trying to save Gambit. He just wanted to kill the Sentinels first. So I really like MODOK's like weird car that he like drives around
in. He's got this like roadster thing.
He's got this like floating roadster thing, like hot rod, and I think it's pretty funny.
There's
like
no point in having a windshield, because his head just peeks right over it.
I didn't notice that. There's no point even having a car, he can fly.
It looks like a toy that you put in a car as like a kid. Like it's not, it doesn't actually fit in a car, like it's a convertible, you know?
Yeah,
and the upper body just sticks out the top of it.
It looks like a normal like hot rod, but with like the Fantastic Four like car jet things on the bottom.
Yeah, kind of like the,
like a helicarrier almost.
Yeah, helicarrier, like with little fans or whatever
with that design. Yeah, I just think it's funny that he has that in general.
Yeah, like that's not even necessary, he can fly, and so I just thought he would just float around everywhere.
No, he's just, you know, he's got this car.
Yep.
So then it comes to the end of issue one, and MODOK notices a bunch of meteors that are like crashing down from the sky. And at one of the landing sites, he sees a female Thor cop crashed and unconscious. And in seeing her, MODOK begins to feel a sense of love, as opposed to what his normal instinct is, which is killing.
Right.
So by the end of this, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I love this idea.
It's a pretty good looking Thor.
It is a good looking Thor.
I agree.
but I like that. I get the concept of the book like at the end of the issue, because I didn't know really where it was going at first.
Yeah.
But at the end, I'm like, I get what this is. Like, he's falling in love, which is nice. So issue two, we don't really know what caused this Thor to fall, but she wakes up to MODOK trying to like introduce himself, and she starts fighting him. MODOK himself has to fight his own thoughts of like admiration towards this Thor, because normally he would just like try and kill whoever he sees.
She gets hit by like lightning or something.
So we do see like when she falls, but it's like green. It's like a green blast that like hits her. So we don't really know what it is.
It's doom.
That's the idea. It's not doom.
Maybe, you know.
I do know.
Does it tell us?
Yeah, I read the book.
Yeah.
I do know what it is, yeah.
You know, I kind of skimmed through this.
Yeah, I can tell. But anyway, so they start fighting, and MODOK is like, man, I really fucking think this Thor is hot, and he's like admiring her and like how powerful she is. But he also has to try to like not be killed at the same time. And so Thor also finds out that her hammer, which is named Devil Slayer, which I think is pretty cool.
Good name.
Not to be confused with the popular anime Demon Slayer.
Right.
That her hammer is like trapped in some energy bubble that she can't get through, and they don't really know what that's about either. But there's a part in this fight scene where MODOK gets punched in the nose and his nose starts bleeding, but his hands are too small and he can't like cover his nose, and I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I really like enjoy this like physical and like emotional fight that MODOK is going through, because mm-hmm. he's normally like this just campy character, but now he's like, I think I love her.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, in like the rest of Killville, we see the Assassin's Guild, which includes Kingpin for some reason, which I guess kind
of
makes sense.
Yeah, he's like one of the bosses.
There's Viper and Shroud. And I've never seen Shroud. I've never heard of Shroud.
Yeah, me either.
He's like, I actually follow like a streamer named Shroud. And so when I heard Shroud, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't know, it was a thing. But
whenever like these kind of events come around,
the people, weirdest like, fucking really characters just
get like bottom of the bucket like characters.
I don't know if that's there. Like, do you think that's because since an event, like most of the like known characters are like kind of taken?
Probably.
Like, do you think like all the big toys in the toy box are like being used for by someone else?
Probably. Yeah, I thought Kingpin would be somewhere else, honestly. I'm like, he seems too important for this book.
he is like the biggest character basically in this.
And same with Bullseye. I was a little confused by that too. And this is how he dies.
It is kind of cool to think of Kingpin still being a Kingpin in a world like this.
Yeah.
Okay, he just like adapts and still becomes like the head boy.
Right.
But yeah, so Kingpin, Viper, and Shroud. They confirm that Bullseye's death was from a massive brain hemorrhage that was caused by MODOK, and they decide that MODOK must pay. And then also Baron Mordo hears that MODOK and this Thor are fighting, so there's just like a little cutaway scene. But back at the fight, MODOK is again fighting his instincts of all the ways that he could kill this Thor because he wants to keep her alive. And he accidentally drops a null bomb in front of her that would definitely kill her if it goes off. So MODOK like jumps in front of the blast to like save Thor. And then he's like kind of knocked out, and Thor is going to go in for the kill while MODOK is down, but she spares him because she's confused why MODOK would like save Thor.
Mm-hmm.
In this fight scene, you see like him, rather than him just doing his like overpowered brain blast thing, he has like a bunch of different weapons that he uses.
Oh yeah.
He's got like a blade saw, a chainsaw, like some guns and stuff. And I just want to point out that his chainsaw is labeled kill.
Yeah.
And I think that that's pretty funny because it makes me think that MODOK has just other chainsaws for like cutting down trees or whatever. And he has to like label them. Yeah, this is the killing one. Like if I'm leaving from my garage, I got to make sure I grab the kill chainsaw.
Right, right.
Because I wouldn't be caught dead with a different chainsaw.
Or you're just really big on branding.
True, true. Well, then everything else would be labeled kill.
That's fair.
But I guess it's fair to assume.
He's got a couple blasters. He's got like a rocket.
Yeah.
Couple machine guns, flamethrowers.
It all just comes out of his dump truck, I guess.
I guess so, dude. It's he's gotta go somewhere.
He's got a fat trunk on that, whatever you call that. Have we ever seen...
He's carrying all that shit in his wagon.
Yeah, I guess so.
Have we seen him what?
I was going to ask if we've seen him naked, but I've seen the first episode of MODOK, so I guess we have.
Have we? Is he naked in that?
In the first episode, someone's like painting a mural, and it's like MODOK is there, and like he's like naked, yeah.
I didn't really look that closely.
I was trying to see if they showed dick, but they blurted it out.
Yeah, no.
Well, so anyway, Thor doesn't kill MODOK and MODOK doesn't kill Thor, basically. That's all you need to know. So they have some sort of understanding. But at the Assassin's Guild Tower, Kingpin confirms that MODOK has pissed off the rest of the guild. So now there's a contract open for MODOK's head, which is open to literally every single assassin. And we see like the assassin's roster on like this big TV room that they have. So we know that like everybody's going after him.
Yeah.
I think that this like last page is pretty good because you see like all the assassins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name everybody that's on the screen?
Jack-o'-lantern, Sabretooth. What's that bitch's name? It's like Shrieking something.
Screaming Mimi.
Screaming Mimi, that's right.
Whatever the fuck that is. I've never heard of that.
Punisher, character. Elektra, Kano.
Kano?
Yep, Taskmaster. Black Widow. Who the fuck is that? Hawkeye.
Sure does look like a Hawkeye, doesn't it?
Who's this, like, Admiral Akbar?
Nice.
And then Wolverine. Oh, I know this guy. He's in Spider-Man. Boomerang.
Boomerang was in Spider-Man?
Yeah, I remember when...
Which one?
Ryan Otley, like, started...
Yeah.
Like, Boomerang's, like, Peter Parker's, like, roommate.
That's right. Oh, my God.
That's how I recognize him.
That's so funny.
Then we got... Pogo.
Hitmonkey.
Hitmonkey? That's a great name.
Yeah.
We got Superior Spider-Man.
Scarlet Spider.
Scarlet Spider?
Close.
Okay, close. And then we have...
Two-Face.
Kill Bill.
Typhoid Mary.
Typhoid Mary?
Yeah.
Oh.
She was in, like, the Daredevil, like, season 3. Wasn't she?
She had swords?
Yeah, she was like the one where it's like...
Yeah, this looks like the bride from Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Because she looks like Uma Thurman.
She kind of does, actually. Yeah, so like you said, there's like big characters like Punisher, and then there's Boomerang in Hitmonkey. So like, this Assassin's Guild's kind of weird.
Boomerang's like a D-level villain for me, but I still like know him, you know?
I didn't even know Marvel had a Boomerang character.
Yeah.
I've read that first trade of Ryan Ottoli Spider-Man until I was annoyed by Nick Spencer's writing, but yeah, I forgot about Boomerang altogether.
Yeah, his art really carries it.
I would buy it just for the art at that point. So yeah, issue 3. MODOK is still confused about his feelings for Thor, but he's helping Thor with her like hammer problem, and they're also investigating why none of the other Thors have come to like save her yet, because this is like essentially like a cop down.
Wait, who's this dude with the eye?
This dude with the eye.
Yeah, down here.
That's like, I think he says like Bushwhacker or something.
Bushwhacker?
He like runs him over and he's like, thanks, Bushwhacker. Hold on, let me...
That's a great name.
Let me scroll and find it. I know exactly what the page looks like. Bushwhacker, yep.
He looks kind of like a Terminator.
He looks like a Sandman, but mixed with Terminator, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure what he's about.
All right.
But I'm glad he's in this book. I'm glad he got some page time.
Yeah, definitely.
So... yeah, MODOK's confused about his feelings. He's helping Thor, trying to figure out what's going on. And they find out that she's been cloaked from technology somehow, which means that she's probably being targeted specifically. So now they just get ambushed by the whole Assassin's Guild that we just talked about. So it starts with Boomerang, Jack-O-Lantern, and Screaming Mimi, which is, what the fuck is that? Screaming Mimi? You could have found a better villain, surely.
What does she do? Just scream?
I don't know. She's just Banshee, basically.
Just like a Black Canary, almost?
I guess, yeah. But I don't know. I guess with spinoffs like this, just, I don't know. Dude, use whatever.
Funko came out with like a zombie Jack-O-Lantern pop.
That sounds awesome.
I'm like, that's a fucking deep cut, dude.
Jack-O-Lantern?
Yeah, what's he in?
He's just like, he's a Spider-Man villain. He's like the third Green Goblin. Third coolest Green Goblin character.
Yeah, I guess.
No, he's like a pretty solid villain. I think there's like one big story with Jack-O-Lantern in it.
Wait, no, not zombie. It might have been like the Venomized Jack-O-Lantern.
Oh, I've seen that one. I've seen that one.
Okay. And then yeah, there's like a weird Venomized Kingpin. I'm like, who needs this?
Yeah.
Who's buying this?
It's because of that Venomized series that like Colin Bunn wrote.
I thought that was Nick Spencer too.
I don't think so. I think it was Colin Bunn.
That seems like something Colin Bunn would write.
There was like a year of like Venom shit that I just didn't care about.
Dude, fucking Brian, he got me the first issue of Venomized as like a gift because he was in a comic shop. He's like, I thought this looked cool. And I'm like, thanks.
Wow. So you have it in here.
I have it in here.
You're the biggest Venomized fan in this room.
Ah, shit. No. Dude,
that was like right before Venom got good with like Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember seeing like Bun on the front of it. I'm like, nice.
Dude, that dude.
I like pretended like I was grateful. I'm like, oh, Colin Bunn, sick. He writes a lot of stuff.
Colin Bunn is just a body to write something for Marvel, I feel like sometimes. Like he's written a lot of good stuff, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So yeah, all the assassins are there. They're trying to kill MODOK and Thor. That's all you'd really need to know, to be honest.
I kind of like seeing these like underground characters though, rather than like the same ones, you know?
I guess
so. That's always
like,
fun.
Yeah. It is fun to like hear these villains. I think it's cool that like Scarlet Spider's in here.
Yeah, super random.
We should like read a Scarlet Spider thing, honestly.
Is there a good Scarlet Spider? Like, wait, is this Scarlet Spider?
Scarlet Spider. This is what this Spider-Man is. Scarlet Spider's like,
does he have a
Spider-Man, but he's bad, I think. I don't know. I haven't read it, but Parker fucking loves it.
Wait, is that the one where like Doc Ock takes over his body?
That's Superior Spider-Man.
Oh.
Also written by Christopher Yost, who wrote this.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
But it's supposed to be pretty good. He like writes movies and shit now, I think, so.
Huh.
But he's also written this MODOK book,
which right.
I'm sure is his crowning achievement.
Yeah, you can't forget this.
Yeah. Black Widow shoots MODOK from a distance and takes out his like little mind chip thing. I don't know why she wouldn't just shoot his face and kill him.
I know. But it's gigantic.
you can't miss. Kill him, the easiest headshot of her life.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So now he doesn't have the ability to just like blow up people's minds. Because that's pretty OP, honestly. He's calling himself like the best assassin or whatever. You have a mind chip thing that blows up people's heads. Like, it's not that hard.
But he's also got all these like arms and stuff.
Yeah, why does he have a buzzsaw and a chainsaw when he could just blow up everybody's head?
In case he needs to cut things at the same time. Maybe he needs to charge.
Maybe he's got issues with stamina.
Yeah, dude. I'm sure it's tiring.
Yeah. But anyway, we cut to Doomguard, which is like Asgard, but it's Doom now.
Yeah, isn't that so cool? it's so thug.
It's so funny. My favorite thing is when people are like, oh my God. They're like, oh my doom.
Yeah. That's like when I realize, like, wow, he really is God.
I mean, it's like a cool effect, but it's kind of funny at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely ridiculous. Yeah. You got Beta Ray Bill here.
Yeah, Beta Ray Bill reports to Doctor Strange, who's like the sheriff for Doctor Doom.
Yep.
And Beta Ray Bill brings the info that they can't find this missing Thor, so they turn to Doctor Strange to, like, use his magic and shit. But back to the assassins fight, they're trying to get away in MODOK's sweet car, but the villain Ghost, who I think is the one from the second Ant-Man movie, it's the one that could, like, phase through shit.
Okay.
She kills the car, and they have to, like, fight off everybody again. So they kill Hitmonkey, they fight off Scarlet Spider, and I'm pretty sure MODOK kills Elektra, Typhoid Mary, and the Punisher because he has his, like, mind chip back again. I don't know, it's all fucking weird. I think, like, when his mind chip got broken, he was, like, rebuilding it while he was, like, fighting. I don't know, it's dumb. But Ghost is
kind of cool.
He is kind of cool.
Yeah, he's just like
I've heard Hitmonkey before. I don't know where or why.
No, you haven't.
I have. I swear to God, I have.
Oh my God.
I think it's because he's been a thing on the Primates podcast. Have you heard of that?
Oh, really?
The podcast about primates and popular culture. They have like Detective Chimp episode from DC.
I need to get to those. I know it's a good podcast. What is the dude's name? Like Matt something?
Matt Stewart.
Matt Stewart.
Yeah. It's pretty good. But anyway, so they kill a bunch of people. Ghost is about to kill Thor, but MODOK booms his head, I guess. And
who's the colorist? Is that Dave Stewart?
Dave Stewart is a colorist, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, go ahead.
Anyway, they kill everybody again with all the multiple weapons that he has.
Yeah, he killed like the Punisher like really fucking easily.
Yeah, same thing with like Elektra. Like it was Elektra, Punisher, and Typhoid Mary that they killed all at once. Which I think they have this like head explosion thing down pretty fucking good.
Yeah, it looks good. There's, like, the blast that comes out of their mouth and eyes and shit.
Yeah, and you can kind of tell that their mouth is, like, way more open than it should be. So, like, yeah, it's kind of, like, splitting their head open.
You can see the Punisher's eye just drooping down.
Yeah, they do the gore, I guess, in, like, a really Marvel way where it's not really gore.
Do you think there was, like a Secret Wars draft where, like, all the writers that had, like, different books that were coming out, like, the spinoffs, and they're, like, all right, who wants to kill off this person? You know, like it went in like a snake order, and then we got to pick all the characters that they wanted in theirs.
Yeah.
And then they could do whatever they wanted with them.
The way I see it,
because that makes the most sense to keep it like in order.
And I think the way that they did it is Jonathan Hickman was like, here's my book. Here's all the tie-ins. Every single tie-in can choose whatever characters they want, except for MODOK. Whoever doesn't use a character in any other series, MODOK gets to kill. That's what I think happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one wanted to use Punisher for this weird cosmic tie-in story.
He does seem like irrelevant for this, even though he is a big character, you know?
See, that's what I think. And then I think to Jason Aaron's like War of the Realms, where everybody like becomes like a god or something. I can't even remember what happens at this point. But was Punisher is like a big part of that book.
Is that a Secret Wars thing?
No.
Oh.
War of the Realms is like Jason Aaron did one event. And it was like Thor based.
Okay, I remember that.
Anyway, yeah.
Vaguely.
But yeah, in this case, Punisher and Elektra and Typhoid Mary doesn't seem like they'd have very big roles. So
I like that I'm learning with this book. I'll give it that.
Yeah. So he kills everybody and then they have to like wait, hold on. I lost my plate. But they kill everybody and then Thor is like, we're doing all this killing, but what for? But also I kinda like it and I'm good at killing. And then there's more assassins that come, which is MODOK's like King.
She's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And MODOK's like, fuck yeah. This. And then Kingpin comes, and Viper comes, and Shroud comes, and then Wolverine's there, I guess. And then there's another Doc Ock somehow. There's like a he's called the Octopus. I don't know if this is like an ultimate version of Doc Ock.
I don't know.
But
the ultimate Doc Ock was a girl, I think.
I think you're just thinking of the Spider-Verse one.
No, I swear to God.
Okay, you're probably right. I don't know.
I think I saw it in like Ultimate Spider-Man show.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the rest of the Assassin's Guild is there, and then all of a sudden, a big horde of the Mindless Ones come, and that's how that issue ends. So, do you know who the Mindless Ones are?
No, dude. I thought this was, like, the Hand or something.
So, I don't really know what they are, but I think they're basically just, like, I've seen them before. They're basically just, like, big brutes without a conscience that only fight, and they, like, can't be mind-controlled.
So, ninja zombies?
Kind of.
Okay, cool.
They're like big brute guys.
They look like ninjas.
With no mind. Yeah.
Huh.
They look like ninjas, but they're not people. Like, that's what they look like. That's not like they're not wearing any clothes or anything.
It looks like they have clothes on,
but they have laser eyes as well. So I don't.
It's a whole thing.
I think we might have seen them in Next Wave at some point, but I can't remember.
Next Wave had a lot of shit in it.
So it did. Like, it did. Yeah, we saw MODOKs in Next Wave. We saw Devil Dinosaurs. That book was insane.
Fing Fang Foom.
Fing Fang Foom. Yeah, dude. Fing Fang Foom was in MODOK, the show, and that was like my favorite. Part. Oh my god! Yes, I was. That's such like a Patton Oswalt thing for him to like include into that fucking show.
It was like a Fing Fang Foom restaurant.
That's like something. The first live action Fing Fang Foom we've seen. If it's you could
hardly call it live action. Yeah. Did you see that it was like actually stop motion?
Yeah, isn't that insane?
That shit always blows my mind.
Like, you'd think it'd be easier just... Has all of fucking...
Robot Chicken
been that?
I guess.
Maybe. I don't know. It seems like a lot of work, but oh well. Mm. Anyway, issue 4... So all the assassins have to fight off against these mindless ones. Shroud creates like a big smoke wall thing to help keep them out. And then MODOK just kills him out of habit. So now he has to create his own energy shield to try and keep the mindless ones away. But he has to focus really hard. But while he's focusing really hard, Doc Ock tries to kill MODOK. And then Thor kills Doc Ock. That's basically what happens.
Cuts him in half.
Yeah. And MODOK's like, fuck yeah, this bitch is hot.
She Darth Mauls him.
Yeah. Yeah. And MODOK gets like a hella hard on for that. And then MODOK decides that they should just fly out of there, which I don't know why that wasn't an option before when they were fighting all these assassins, but
right.
They just flew out of there. So
definitely.
But as they're flying out of there, he gets to hold Thor's hand, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck yeah. I feel like, this is like the first time we see it, but Shroud said, what in Doom's name are those things?
Yeah.
And it's cheesy, but it's cool.
It's like in this context, it's kind of cheesy, but like it seems super serious. And like
in the main Jonathan book. Hickman does it well, but in here it's just the fuck are you even saying? So yeah, the two of them are flying back to go get Thor's hammer because they didn't really get to investigate it that much. They don't know what's going on there.
But then MODOK gets knocked down.
By Captain America's shield?
Oh my goodness.
But who's it thrown by?
It's thrown by Taskmaster, who also has Hawkeye's bow.
And he also has Iron Man's, one of his gauntlets. And I think those are Daredevil's buoy sticks.
That looks like it.
So this is a Taskmaster that's comprised of a bunch of different Avengers things.
That's fucking sick.
Which is a really great idea.
This would be great. Just like this panel would be a sick poster just to have.
Yeah, I know. It really would be.
It'd be like, holy shit.
And I love seeing Taskmaster. I'm a Taskmaster sucker.
Yeah, definitely, honestly, dude. Give me all that shit.
I'm excited for the Black Widow movie just to see him in it, but I like all of his like comic book stuff, especially.
Yeah, for sure.
But in here, he's just kind of like a nerd, to be honest.
Yeah,
he knocks him down, and he's like, "I'm here to kill you" or something. And then MODOK's like, "Wow, whatever." And so he's like talking to Thor, and Taskmaster's like trying to kill him while he's talking to Thor, they just like stop him.
Like, hey, sorry, I was just trying to kill you.
Yeah. And then while MODOK's like talking to Thor, Taskmaster is like trying to kill him, but they just like stop the arrows or whatever that they fire at each other. So It's kind of funny, I guess. He's kind of like a joke, but
yeah, like it's so weird to see him just be non-threatening.
Yeah. And like, there's also a couple panels where he's like, oh, sorry. Like I didn't. Yeah. My bad. But anyway, so in that scene, MODOK pieces together that all the weird shit that was happening, like Thor falling from the sky, the hammer being stuck in a weird energy shield, and the mindless ones have all come from magic. So he pieces it together that it must be the work of Baron Mordo.
Right.
So Baron Mordo was the one that shocked Thor out of nowhere, and she fell into Killville because of him.
Why would he do that?
I'll tell you at the end.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I was kind of falling asleep. I was reading like 4 and 5.
But I was falling asleep towards 4, not because I thought the book was boring, but because I was really tired.
Yeah.
Do you ever try and read these books at night and then you've just conditioned yourself to fall asleep reading comics and then you just fall asleep?
It's like most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. Because I used to read comics like all the time before bed.
Uh-huh.
Like I would read like a bunch of stray bullets before bed, just like wind my brain down. But I think I've just conditioned myself like Pavlov to fucking just fall asleep when I read comics.
Reading, it's like, all right, time for bed.
If I'm laying down reading comics, I'm falling asleep. Not because the book's boring, but I just conditioned myself to do that.
It depends on the time of day, but if I have like 20 minutes, I'm like, that's not enough time for a show, so definitely read a comic and then you go into bed.
Yeah, basically. So they all so there's more mindless ones that come up and they escape to Thor's hammer, but they're getting kind of overwhelmed by the horde of mindless ones. Taskmaster dies, I think, and then
he gets shocked by like one of the mindless ones.
Gotcha.
And they're like laser blasts,
and Thor puts all of her might to try and get the hammer out, and it knocks her out. But MODOK tries to pick up the hammer, the Devil Slayer himself. But it's a little bit heavy for him. because he's not worthy. And then also Baron Mordo's there to like try and kill him. So that's that issue basically.
Right. See how riveting this book is, Nathan?
Yeah. I like that line though when Thor is like knocked out and MODOK's like, it would be really convenient if you could just wake up and save us all right now. Yeah. Because that's such a MODOK line, isn't it?
These covers are kind of fun.
Yeah. They had a pretty interesting cover artist. I don't know who it is, but...
Yeah, like I've never seen this kind of like, it's very, like style.
Cartoony.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, issue 5. Basically, we find out that Baron Mordo's plan was to knock out Thor in the sky to fall down in front of MODOK so that MODOK would kill Thor and then lure Doctor Strange / Sheriff Strange to Killville. And then once Doctor Strange was there, MODOK was supposed to kill Doctor Strange and then Mordo would come up from behind MODOK and kill him. And then he wanted all this to happen so that Doom would promote Mordo to being sheriff because he killed the person that killed Doctor Strange.
That's right. Okay, thank you.
And once he figures that out, MODOK basically roasts Mordo for his dumb plan because of all the fucking like errors that could happen in that plan. So now we know what all the motivations are. It all comes together. But I really like this beginning page of this issue because it's like a focus on like Thor and she's like unconscious right now.
Mm-hmm.
And MODOK is like listing all the reasons why he like loves this Thor. Even though they met in their time 2 hours ago.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty funny because like, it's just crazy to think that like a 5-issue book could just be like 2 hours in total.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. But it's all been kind of like nonstop, I guess. But anyway, Mordo is like winning this fight against MODOK, using his like assistant. Her name's like Clea or something. And also the Mindless Ones are there. They're all fighting and he's about to kill Thor, but MODOK uses his secret weapon, which is all of the sentinels from like the other territory that he now controls. So he, I guess, hacks the sentinels and is having them fight off all the Mindless Ones so that MODOK can just go after Mordo. Mordo gets a good hit on him and he's about to kill MODOK, but then there's thunder because the Thor is back. Thor is just fighting Mordo. Anyway, there's a big fight. MODOK goes in for a headbutt, the biggest headbutt I've probably ever seen in comics.
Yeah, definitely.
And MODOK doesn't kill him because he's proving that he's capable than more than just killing. So he's like trying to be the bigger man, even though like literally less than 2 hours ago you were killing everybody.
Right.
So I'm like, what is he? Why is this the thing now?
There's a theme. Yes.
Yeah. But then all the Thors show up, but there's no Doctor Strange because he was too busy doing something else. So he wouldn't have shown up anyway. It would have just been all the Thors that came up. But so Mordo gets pissed and he tries to like start fighting everybody again. But then MODOK just kills him anyway, because that's more satisfying than justice. So really, he hasn't grown at all. And then the Thors try to arrest MODOK, but then girl Thor vouches for MODOK, saying that he protected her when she would have died without him. So then all the Thors like, all right, and then they all leave. And then MODOK and Thor get to have this moment, and MODOK's like going to confess his love for Thor by going in for a kiss. And then this Thor is like confused and slaps him.
So, yeah, with like his axe.
Yeah, her axe. Which I think is pretty funny. And then before she leaves, Thor tells MODOK her name is Angela. And then smiles as she like flies off.
Angela?
And I think it's Angela. It's like she's like Thor's sister that he didn't know he had.
Okay.
So that's why that's important.
Okay.
So yeah, MODOK takes that as a W because he got a smile from her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he continues living life as the new Baron of Killville. And he's now the mental organism designed for, but not strictly limited to killing. Because he's still killing people, but he's doing it with love now.
I like this panel where he's like going in for the kiss. His lips.
His lips are so fucking gross and disgusting. Because during the fight with Mordo, his like face gets cut up. And I think it's kind of funny because he's like, oh, I'm not going to be attractive anymore for Thor.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're big, ugly, big head already. So
yeah.
I don't know what you were expecting.
His like huge upper lip is like cut.
Yeah,
he's got like black blood for some reason.
But when he's going in for the kiss, like that would eat her whole head.
Yeah, basically
it's insane. So that's the end of the book, and they've actually squeezed in 2 pages of back matter. Daniel,
we got some back matter.
Yeah,
some back matter matters. Pretty hefty covers, basically.
And yeah, some two pencils. Covers from artists that we've appreciated in different episodes of this.
Dude, Christian Ward
did a MODOK cover, dude.
Oh,
Gabriel Walta did a MODOK cover. Yeah,
this one's sick. Yeah, I like his a lot. Yeah. He's just got a huge gun.
I like that. And then Christian Ward, who I didn't even know was working with Marvel at this time, because that's like 5 years ago at this point.
They just get some dynamite artists to MODOK covers.
They're like, how do we sell this book? Like, we need to have the best cover artist in the fucking game.
Yeah.
And then there's like two penciled pages that are included. And I think it's just like of some fighting in the Assassin's Guild. So that's pretty cool too. So what would you rate this book, Daniel, using our patented rating system?
I would rate this like one of those tester spoons.
A sample spoon.
Sample spoon, yeah.
At Coldstone.
At Coldstone.
I would say this is an I like it.
But like it'd be something that I'm pretty, it'd be like a flavor that I'm pretty sure I'll like, but I don't think I've ever tried. You know, like a, like a Cherry Garcia, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, I think I like this, but I'm not sure.
I think I'd say that this isn't, I like it. It's like the smallest size at Coldstone. Okay. And I would say that it's a new, like one of their signature, actually, no.
A signature not a like signature. It?
No. I would say, no. How many toppings are there? I would say this is a signature one that I'm going to try because I'm feeling feisty and I want to try something new, but I'm not sure I'll like it. So it's the smallest size of something I don't know if I'll like, but I'll try it anyway and I'll probably eat it all.
Okay. All right. I feel that.
But like, I wouldn't recommend it.
I'm going to forget this shit so fast.
But if you want to read something MODOK, I don't think this is completely a waste of time.
No.
So that's, yeah, take of that what you will.
I don't think anyone really needs to read MODOK or anything because he doesn't have a lot of solo stuff. He's just kind of in things.
Yeah.
But anyway, Nathan.
So pretty solid book. But let's go straight into the pull list, : shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
All right, speed round. All the comics that you're getting.
Do you want to do comics first?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So we got High Republic 5, the Star Wars one.
Oh, I didn't write down all the books I picked up. I was just going to do all the ones I've read, because I read a lot.
Okay, so I'll get the ones that I picked up.
Yeah, sure.
And then the ones that I read.
Yeah, I won't remember, but yeah,
Spider-Man Shadow 2.
Oh, shit, I got to pick. Oh, I missed that, actually.
Black Hammer Visions 4.
Who's writing that one?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Silver Coin 2.
Uh-huh.
Rorschach 8.
Yep.
Beta Ray Bill 3.
Yep.
Last Ronin 3.
Did you read Beta Ray Bill?
No, I tried to get to it. I didn't.
Okay.
And then Strange Adventures 10.
Last Ronin 4?
3.
3. Okay.
Yeah.
I missed that one too, but I know where to find it.
I read Ultra Mega 2.
Awesome.
I don't know if I like it as much as you do, but it is a good book.
So, yeah, issue 2 was a lot different than I thought issue 1 was going to be.
Sure.
I picked up issue 3. Like, it's already out.
Yeah. Did you read it?
I haven't read it yet, no. But okay. It's on my pile.
I read Teen Titans Academy 1 and 2, like the only ones that are out. It's pretty good. It's fun.
Yeah, it is a fun book.
I don't know if I'll like keep going with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like average comics, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not bad.
For me,
it totally gets the job done kind of thing.
I may have hyped it up a little bit too much, but it like, to be fair, it really scratched like an X-Men itch that I was kind of craving.
Sure.
And then also, I think Red X is really cool. So the thing that there's like a Red X running around, I think is kind of a fun idea.
Yeah, okay.
And then to also just like have, because I think that there's good things about Titans and Teen Titans. So I'm glad that those are both in one book.
Yeah.
While also training like kids. I think that that's
Yeah, it's definitely a cool concept. And I think I would have like read the shit out of this like 5 years ago.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, that's the only stuff I read.
I can't remember what I picked up. Definitely a few of those things.
Probably
but
the same thing.
I read a lot because I had to be on a plane, and I'm like, Sophia, I hope you have things to do because I'm going to be reading the whole time.
<You're> like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. So I was really behind on it, but I read all of Green Lantern Season 2.
Oh, okay.
I had read like 4 or 5 issues of it, but I just decided to like start over again and read it all at once.
That's good.
And it was pretty damn delightful, I would say.
Pretty delightful.
Yeah. Like it's...
It's a good word.
It's much better altogether because...
Oh, yeah. Most things are, I think.
It's like every issue is like its own contained story, and then a couple panels are dedicated to a through-line story.
Okay.
So every issue just feels like it's kind of confusing in its own right, but if you're reading it all together, you get it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And Grant Morrison just does... It feels like an all-star Superman where like every issue is just... He's fleshing out this like insane idea. But,
really?
But it's like in space.
That's sick.
So that's kind of like what it was. So
yeah,
there's like
awesome.
There's like a lot of like really, really cool concepts and like and things that he was just doing. And then Liam Sharp's work just elevates it in such like... His stuff is truly like remarkable, honestly.
Yeah.
I like his work a lot. So, and he also like colors himself and things like that too.
Really?
And a few of the issues. So he's just like all around like crazy good artist. So nice. I really like that a lot. I don't know if it's something I could recommend, and I'm definitely ready for like normal Green Lantern again.
Okay.
Just cause a season 3 of Green Lantern, I don't know, would have been like, I don't know, maybe would have been good, but
so did 2 seem like it kind of was going off the momentum as of 1, but wasn't as good?
I'd have to reread all of 1 again.
Okay. So is it kind of like just Grant Morrison's style that isn't that great for like ongoing stuff?
Yeah, it's okay. Great in like the small like dose or in the small run that he did of like 24 issues.
Yeah.
I think it's really good in that. Like I'm glad that Green Lantern got a Grant Morrison like
treatment.
Yeah, treatment. And then that series got me onto Liam Sharp, so I'm excited to read more of his stuff.
Yeah,
including Batman Reptilian, which is coming up.
Yeah,
there's been some preview pages of that. It's fucking rad.
I've just seen covers so far, but
he takes like big inspiration, I think, from like Bill Sienkiewicz.
Nice.
In this one, so it's gonna be really cool. I read Snow Angels actually. I caught up on it.
Oh yeah, how you like it?
It's pretty good actually.
Yeah, it's not bad. I can't remember what issue I'm on. I think I finished 3, but
I finished 3 as well.
It's a
so there's 4 the snow. Out? I think it just came out and I haven't read it yet.
Okay, same.
And I think that's the last issue.
Really?
I want to say it is. I think it was like kind of wrapping up.
But oh, weird.
There's like the snowman like following them around, and they're in the trench. And it's
I can't imagine it be wrapped up in another issue.
Maybe maybe it might be 5. I could be wrong, but
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it's pretty. I think it's pretty fun. Like I kept thinking of our joke when we were just like, "Oh my god, we gotta run!" and they're like skating away.
yeah, I like it. It's like it's not like complex,
no,
or like dense or anything. It's like really just like
it plays the jock style really well.
Yeah, it's just really like mellow reading, and it's just like good.
I love like the design of like the snowman guy, and whoever he's supposed to be is really interesting to me.
Yeah, for sure.
And the concept is just weird because it's just like there's one big trench. I don't know who made the trench, but there's a trench there.
Yeah.
And don't go too far in the trench because we don't know what's out there.
Yeah, but it's crazy that there might be like a post-apocalyptic world where like that it comes to that to where like you just
don't
hide
know.
In like one spot and then the world just kind of changes around you.
Yeah, and it's cool having the perspective of just like these two kids that normally bicker have to like take on a whole bunch of responsibility to like survive.
Right.
I think that idea is pretty cool.
Yeah, so, for sure.
For single issues, I read Derek Robertson's Legend of the Dark Knight. So Derek Robertson is like the artist on like The Boys.
Oh, yes.
And I think was he on Transmetropolitan? I can't remember.
I think he was.
So yeah, he's like super elite artist. He's writing and drawing Legend of the Dark Knight, which is a Batman book.
No shit.
The first issue was really cool, and I liked it a lot. It's just him bringing in like a whole bunch of Superman villains that are all getting dealed this drug, basically.
Oh.
This specific drug that each of the like the gangs are going to use for their own things. So, like Penguin's gang, Joker's gang, Mr. Freeze is in there too.
Okay.
So it's an interesting idea, and Batman has to try and figure out who this guy is with the help of Commissioner Gordon shit.
How's those characters look like in his style?
So good.
Really?
That's so awesome. So good. I love his take on Batman. It's awesome.
Cool.
But I found out that the Legends of the Dark Knight, Derek Robertson's going to be only writing and drawing 3 issues of it, but it seems like it's like an anthology series where different creative teams have like a couple issues in a row.
Huh. Okay.
And it seems like it's just a way to like narrow down the number of bat books that are out there because there's a fucking lot right now.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're just doing that because there's already like 5 to like 10 creative teams that were announced for this book.
So you think it'll be an anthology? So like the new creative team will have a different
either book? Like, yeah, I think it'll either be just because it's called Legends of the Dark Knight. So I imagine that sets itself up for like different stories.
Yeah.
It could hopefully. Be like a Commandy challenge thing.
Yeah, where they just pick up where the last ones left off.
But it's Batman, which I'd also be cool with that,
That'd
too.
That'd be kind of cool.
I read Fantastic Four Life Story, number 1.
Did that come out?
Yes.
Ah, shit.
It's in the 60s, and I like the time period because it's around the time when man's trying to get to the moon, and that's kind of how they get their powers.
Oh.
It feels like it's a really cool idea because in that he like sees Galactus, and people think that he's crazy or whatever.
Oh.
And it's cool. It just this first issue felt a little rushed, so
okay,
that's the only thing. But it's Mark Russell, did like Flintstones and things like that.
Yeah,
so I totally have faith in his stuff. So I'm definitely gonna pick up the 70s, which is issue 2.
Because they only go to the moon. Can you imagine just, like, you're going towards, like, it's, like, daytime, you know?
Yeah.
And you're going towards, like, the hemispheres.
Yeah.
Atmospheres.
Hemisphere is a layer of the atmosphere.
Okay, so yeah, you like go through those, and then once you get to like space, you just see like fucking Galactus there.
That's kind of, well, just like
standing there.
They hit like cosmic rays, and then he gets like a vision of Galactus, and it's like the scale is on its own is just incredible. Like,
okay,
the way that he's like presented, and I wasn't expecting him, but it's really cool.
Nice.
It only makes sense. It's Fantastic Four, of course, Galactus is going to be in it, but mm-hmm. Yeah, the premise is like Galactus is coming, basically, but it's also like American history is happening at the same time. It's pretty cool.
I don't think I've ever actually read anything with like Galactus in it that was like serious, where he was like the villain and like how they handle that sort of thing.
That's a good point. I don't know if I have either.
I think it's just like one of those like older.
Actually,
like,
no. And Don and Kate's Thor run, Galactus is in it. And I've read Silver Surfer.
Okay.
So yeah, I have.
You get it.
I also, last thing I read was Justice League Last Ride by Chip Zdarsky and Marcus Mendonca.
What's that premise?
It's Justice League, but they're a disbanded Justice League because of a really huge disagreement that happened in the Justice League, but they have to come back together because Lobo killed the New Gods and he's being taken prisoner by like the Green Lanterns.
Uh-huh.
And they have to like hide him somewhere until Lobo can go on trial.
Oh.
So they have to like, Superman is like super tired because the Justice League isn't like doing everything, so he has to kind of do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Batman clearly have like one specific thing that they really disagree on, but they have to like put their differences aside.
Right.
It's really cool. Oh, like, nice. I like it a lot. And the artist is like criminally underrated. I can't believe I haven't seen this guy in anything before.
Justice League what?
Last Ride. Issue 1 came out last week, I want to say.
Okay.
So, yeah, and there's like multiple Green Lanterns in it, and
sick.
The Green Lanterns are like trying to have the new base of the Green Lantern Corps on the moon of Earth, which is also a really cool idea.
Sounds small.
Oa is probably not that big.
But
and they may not use all of Oa or Mogo, whichever one you're talking about. But yeah,
Oa.
So yeah, that's everything I read. Let's talk about the cinematic stuff we've read or we watched.
You know, still chugging along on the Marvel stuff. So we watched Ant-Man.
Nice.
We watched Civil War.
Great movie.
That's my favorite one in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I don't know what mine is, actually.
It's that one, like, for sure. And then we watched Doctor Strange and Guardians 2. So we're like,
what'd you think of Guardians 2 second go around?
I liked it a lot more second time around. Just because like I wasn't like wondering what was happening, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's definitely like really close to like 1, but I still hold 1 like higher.
Okay.
I know, like, when you first saw it, you liked 2 more. You still think that?
Yeah, I do. After seeing it again, I still think that.
Okay. Agree or disagree?
I'll fight anybody on it as well.
But other than, like, Marvel stuff, I watched The Mitchells versus the Machines.
Oh, is it good?
You know, people really hyped that thing up, and it was just, like, it was, like, a 7.
Okay, fair.
They tried really hard to do, like, the Into the Spider-Verse, like, animation things, where it's, like,
the half like frames or whatever.
Yeah, oh, gotcha, like gotcha. All the things that pop up, you know?
Gotcha.
It's almost like they forgot about that they were doing that halfway through the movie. The themes to it, like, really hit hard.
Cool.
And so I'm like, damn. You know what I mean?
It was super hyped up.
So. Yeah, it's, like, very good for a Netflix movie and very good for a Netflix animated movie, yeah. Even. So I don't think it's, like, a waste of time, but I don't think it's, like, groundbreaking.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, that was cool. Nice. I watched Army of the Dead.
Oh, I heard about, yeah.
The Zack Snyder like zombie movie.
What'd you think?
It's fine.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of tropes that are in zombie movies that I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I heard like the premise and the general rundown. It seems all right.
Yeah, like the concept's cool. They could have done, there's just a lot of things they could have done better with it.
Does Dave Bautista have little glasses on?
Yep.
Nice. He's
gotta be able to read. There's a lot of things I would have done differently about it.
But you're not a director, are you?
No, I'm not a director. But there were like cool things. Like there's like hierarchies of zombies.
Oh, okay.
Like there's like leaders and like the like elite ones and stuff like that. There's like a queen,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool.
Huh.
And because they're in Vegas, the ones that are outside, they got like shriveled up and they like kind of die. Hmm. But when it rains, they like kind of come back to life.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which I kind of liked. And then there's some in like this basement that they're in, and they just stand with like their heads down and they like hibernate.
Oh, cool.
But you can like wake them up.
So they're not, they're kind of different. Like they don't all just do the same thing, which is just,
yeah, okay. It's not just like this huge thing where the zombies are just waiting for people to come around.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things I liked about it, and then plenty that I didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
Are you going to watch it, or can I kind of spoil a couple things?
I'm going to watch it, I think. So.
Okay. We can talk about it later, maybe.
Yeah.
And then I started watching Solar Opposites.
Nice.
It's a good show. I like that show.
It's just good, yeah. There's a really funny like episode that's like the wall-based.
Uh-huh.
But they have like just an ongoing joke that is, it fucking kills me like every time I think about it. So I'm excited. I think it was like episode 6 or 7.
Okay.
It's just so random and funny. I don't know. It's great.
Yeah, I started watching it like yesterday, I think. So
how many are you in?
Like 2.
Okay, cool.
It's like 8 episodes.
It's like 8. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll probably knock it out pretty easily.
One of my favorite episodes is about big dick energy. So
okay.
So yeah.
And then MODOK.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about MODOK. How far are you into it?
So I watched the second episode last night.
I think I'm like 4 or 5 in.
Yeah.
Okay. And Pat, or what's his name?
Patton Oswalt.
He's perfect for MODOK.
Oh yeah,
100%.
No one better.
No one could ever do a better MODOK than Patton Oswalt.
MODOK's not that great of a character to watch.
But like he characterizes it just so like he understands. Like as soon as I like saw even the preview, I was like, I know what this is. This is great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool to see a Marvel thing presented in this way, the stop motion robot chicken style.
Yeah.
I think it works out pretty well.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The first episode I didn't love. The second one, neither. I liked a lot more. Like the time travel one.
Yeah.
I just thought it was just a better episode. And so I think like once you figure out what it is,
mm-hmm.
then it works really well.
Yeah. How'd so second like, episode, was that the one where they went back in time?
Yeah.
I love the recurring like third eye blind jokes.
Yeah, dude. It's so random that he was just in that.
Like they got all the third eye blind rights, which is pretty funny to like put it in the show.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite ongoing joke. Because there's like a point where MODOK gets really sad. He's like, I want something else. And he's like looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot of jokes per minute, I would say. And I think it's like a little bit too much sometimes.
I think it's like attempted jokes per minute.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I wasn't like laughing out loud like at anything really. But there's like tons of clever things in there. That like,
yeah.
Ah, I get that.
Yeah. I only laughed out loud at like the third eye blind ones, to be honest.
Yeah.
For some reason that it was just so funny to me. But yeah, I didn't really laugh out loud a whole lot. But I appreciate it for what it is for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like it's kind of going under the radar. Like I only know that it was coming out because we were doing this,
yeah.
And so I had to like look for it kind of.
I'm yeah,
like, when does this come out again?
I'm glad that it exists for sure. I'm definitely gonna finish it.
Yeah,
I see that like Nathan Fillion plays Wonder Man, and
okay,
like it comes up later. I think he's gonna start hitting on like MODOK's wife and stuff.
Oh,
and cause some like drama there. So yeah, I think that'll be fun.
I just want to like see it and just like know like what it is and just like
mm-hmm.
this is something I'm like willing to like watch, you know.
Exactly.
It's not like my favorite show or anything, but
yeah, so I think it's pretty good. I like it for what it is. They're doing crazy ideas too.
Yeah.
Because I think episode 4 I was like, what even is this? Like it's crazy to just see that on the screen. So I like it a lot. Yeah. You've been watching I've written Jupiter's Leg here. Have you watched Jupiter's Leg?
Yeah, I watched all of Jupiter's Leg.
I watched all 2 of his legs. I'm 5 episodes in.
Okay.
I want to say, and it's totally serviceable. Yeah.
Yeah, it's it like works, and they're doing things mostly correctly.
I'm finding that I'm liking it more as I watch it.
Yeah, me too.
But the shit I don't like is the flashbacks.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. It's could, like Arrow
it's,
amount.
It's so Arrow, and I don't want Arrow.
It kind of works though, as far as like that's kind of how it was told in like the book, kind of
barely.
Barely, but
there's too much like, oh, my dad's company's dying and I'm Josh Duhamel.
So I haven't read like the prequels, which I think has a lot of island shit.
It or could,
like
yeah.
the other one, like the sequel. So I'm not sure like how much of this is like accurate, you know?
Right.
Maybe if we read all of it, then all that shit is in there, you know what I mean?
But that shouldn't be required for it to be interesting.
Yeah, like if they were just going off of like the first trade, then like the island shit could have been wrapped up in like 3 scenes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like the trade cuts out a lot of like, it doesn't have any fat to it, I don't think.
No.
So that's why I really like the trade and like that format. But in this show, it feels like some of the scenes are a little bit stretched out. Some of the acting's a little bit cheesy.
Yeah.
But I didn't like Chloe's character at first, but I'm liking her more after I saw her episode.
I think she's like super accurate.
She's really, well, I don't know about that because it felt like she wasn't as edgy in the book. Like,
sure. Yeah, she's like a little bit more. Yeah, yeah.
Brandon was more the edgy one in the book, and it feels like Chloe's more edgy in this, and then Brandon's trying his best, whereas it felt like Chloe was just trying her best in the book. That makes sense? Like, the edginess kind of flipped almost.
I thought Chloe was pretty true to the character, but like Brandon's like more as a hero.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, does a pretty good job.
Yeah, and I like his perspective of things because ultimately he made the right choice, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
And everybody's like, yeah, you made the right choice. But
except for Utopian.
Yeah, Utopian's just like, we don't do that. And like his old school way of thinking is just all he says. That's all that character is. He's just like, we can't.
He says the code so much.
We can't change the code. The code changes people or whatever. And I'm like, dude,
it's like they decided out on like however many episodes this was, and they're like, all right, we just gotta fill in like dialogue. Yeah. And like, oh, don't forget,
if they shot an episode and it was like, we've shot 40 minutes, we need 10 more minutes, just put in Utopian saying shit about the code.
Yeah.
So yeah, that stuff. Everybody looks great. All the costumes are like the fucking part. Great. Yeah,
they're sick.
So I really like it. Hutch is a little bit different than I thought because they're not dating yet, Hutch and Chloe.
Yeah.
So he's
got like more of a storyline to it. Like he's got like a crew and stuff like that.
I'm glad he's got a big stick though that he's still traveling around with.
Yeah, that's helpful. Cool.
And
the dope title sequence.
Like, yeah, with Jock.
That Jock.
I know who that is.
Yep.
So pretty good. I'll probably eventually finish it. But I don't know if Netflix was like, I think Netflix is really trying to push it by putting it like number one in the world or whatever.
It's not that anymore. It's like, I think Army of the Dead is now.
Gotcha.
Dude, Brainwave was like the perfect casting.
Dude, Brainwave looks fucking weird as Brainwave. Do you ever...
Who? Wait, who looks weird as Brainwave?
Brainwave. Just like, as old Brainwave, his face just like... Like, I don't know what it is
like, about. Like, I'm not super convinced, like, those people are old, you know?
But Brainwave's, like, face looks stiff.
Sure, but he looks just like the book.
Is
what I like about it.
Yeah, everybody looks great, to be honest.
The effects, they're, like, super cheesy. And that was probably the cringiest part in the first episode.
I would say so,
because they had that big fight, and I'm like...
I didn't mind it that much, because it's still, like, better than TV, I would say, so...
Yeah, I try to ignore it, like, as much as possible, and just, like... Just, you know, look at what is happening, you know, rather than critiquing it too much.
But what's good about Jupiter's Legacy is that it's not about the action. So
I
didn't mind it that much. Yeah.
And have you gotten the part where like Red Foreman's in it?
No, that's awesome, though.
Oh. The actor for Red Foreman is in it. I was like, oh, what?
Yeah, I might be like my next episode or something because I'm like halfway through.
I liked the bit where like Brandon's friend like gets killed and that's kind of like his motivation.
That works really well.
Yeah, that was like a kind of a cool twist on it.
Yeah, because obviously in the book they just kill Black Star and that's not what drives everything.
Yeah.
It's like more politics, but
there's like a handful of things that I noticed like that were like different. Like he has to like convince like all the people to go to the island and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Rather than these people just being blindly trustworthy.
Yeah, they're just there for
which
him.
Is like makes more sense, you know.
It does. Yeah, that's definitely something that they could expand on. So I guess I get it. I just don't really care for flashbacks that much.
Yeah. There's this weird thing that's not a spoiler, but like when they go to they're like on this boat and then they go to the mountain and then, or the island. And then once they like go do all the things that they need to do, they come back to the boat with the suits.
Oh, cool.
And so I guess they get the suits from the island.
Did they make them there or like did those aliens?
I guess like just when they got zapped or whatever the fuck they got.
Do you think everybody was like, can we like switch or like what's the deal here?
I don't love this blue.
I don't think this will fit.
Like,
actually,
this is big on me, dude.
Or they like put it on. Like, this is comfy. Like,
I'm allergic to wool. Is there a way around this?
Is there a large in the back?
Yeah. I got to maintain my figure.
Can you check?
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny. I haven't gotten there yet, but that's pretty funny.
But yeah, like it's like they took like the first two issues of the first trade and made it a season.
I think it'll eventually...
Because what's your favorite part about Jupiter's Legacy, Nathan?
When they die.
Yeah, no one does that. Because like...
Did you watch all of it?
Yeah, I watched all of it.
Oh, Utopian's alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
That sucks.
I
want him to be dead.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was going to be the finale. This would be a great finale. It would have been. Here we go.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't happen.
I want to see Lady Liberty's fucking skull... Utopian's fucking skull face.
Yeah, so what I was thinking is,
that's
maybe they end it on that part because it wasn't chugging along or anything.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's because they had, Josh Duhamel playing, this main role, and they just didn't want to just, kill him.
Yeah.
But... they could have definitely shoved that whole trade into two episodes.
I agree.
If they went on that pacing.
Yeah.
But I think they're really hoping for
this
the
to
second
be the...
and third season so they can get to the good parts.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I was really sold on the book until the third issue.
Yeah.
Same. Because I'm like, holy fuck.
I'm like, here we go. Yeah. Everything changed.
Because no one had plot armor. And then exactly. In this show, they do.
Yeah.
Which sucks, but...
that's interesting.
It won't, pay off once it happens, because it's been, two seasons, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's, I don't make those decisions.
That's an interesting choice, though.
I would definitely,
I see where you're coming from.
Go with the pacing that made me like the book.
Yeah.
I get stretching it out for the show, but to not even get up to that point is just kind of annoying. But anyway.
Gotcha.
Did you watch anything else?
Just more of my normal stuff. I've been watching more Better Call Saul. It's a great show. And then watch a little bit more Demon Slayer. That's a pretty good show.
Oh, you know what else I watched?
What?
I watched Spiral.
Oh, it's good?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Would you recommend if I like Saw?
I think even if you don't like Saw, you would like it. It's not a perfect movie, but as far as I think it's the second best movie in that franchise.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Other than the first one. I've seen four.
Apparently
or
it was a Chris... what's his name? Chris Rock?
Chris Rock.
Apparently, it was a passion project of his because he really liked Saw.
Yeah, it was the budget for it was $20 million, and he took a huge pay cut just to make it happen.
And they have Sam Jackson in it?
And they have Sam Jackson in it.
Is he really in it?
He's maybe got 10 minutes of screen time.
That makes sense.
But it definitely keeps the spirit of Saw.
Sweet.
Which I thought was crazy, but it was way more detective drama kind of thing.
Okay.
The tons of twists and things. The motivations are awesome. And just the plot just really fits together really well.
Cool.
You know what I mean?
Does Chris Rock lose a limb?
No.
Okay.
Does
he lose something?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And so it's the premise is the killer is doesn't the police corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a decent cop.
Cool.
And so the killer sends him a bunch of shit. And then people in his precinct die.
Wow.
Because they're not because they're corrupt cops and shit like that. And it's just really well put together, I thought. It's not gory in a dumb way.
That's good.
It's gory because it's Saw, but not ridiculous where someone's back gets ripped off or something.
Yeah.
Like
Chester.
Yeah, Chester Bennington. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
RP. So yeah, I would definitely recommend it if you like horror movies.
Cool. Yeah, I'll check it out then.
I'd maybe just wait for it to come to streaming or something.
I thought it was on HBO Max. Is it not? Did you watch it in a theater?
Yeah, I went to the movies.
Cool. Nice. Sweet.
But yeah, that was a good movie.
That's everything from me.
Yeah, same.
All right. Well, that's the show, everybody.
What are you going to read next week, Nathan?
Oh yeah. Is Sweet Tooth coming out?
Yeah, on the 4th. So that's kind of the obvious choice.
That's what we're going with, Sweet Tooth?
Yep.
Sweet. I'm excited. I haven't read any Sweet Tooth. I have no idea what it's about.
Yeah, it's good. I just read the first trade.
I just know there's a kid with horns.
And then didn't come back to it, but I planned on it.
Yeah, so we'll read the first trade of Sweet Tooth in excitement for the Netflix show, which I think comes out on that Friday.
Next Friday, yeah. So the Friday that episode would come out.
Sweet. Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Sorry for the late episode, everybody.
Yeah,
my brother was graduating and couldn't find time to record before that.
Yep.
Hope you understand.
It is what it is.
But
if you are mad at us, you can email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com or
tell us
tweet
what
us at tradewaiterspod on Twitter. Yeah, tell us what to read. Tell us what you think. Tell us if you're new.
On Comixology Unlimited, for some reason, the deluxe version of Sweet Tooth, you can borrow. We can't borrow the first trade.
Well, we're going to read the first trade, but we can borrow the deluxe and talk about that back matter if you want.
Yeah, just steal that back matter.
What's the first trade? 6 issues?
I think five? Five, yeah.
Okay, so we'll read the first 5 of the deluxe. And I'll probably just read the rest of it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's probably not hard. We could just review the 10 and then just be swift about it.
It's 12.
12 is the first deluxe?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
We're just going to do the first trade because that's easier.
Wuss.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Feel free to reach out to us. I'm also at More Like Nathic on Twitter, NathicC. Thank you, Nathan Moss, for our music. And thanks, Daniel, I guess, for the rest.
Yeah.
And thank you all for listening, and have a great Memorial Day or whenever you're listening to this. Have a great day on that day that you're listening.
Definitely.
Bye, everybody. That's it.
Bye. Indeed.